everybody. You are listening to the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM in beautiful downtown, uptown, however you want to say it, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today. This episode is a little bit different in that my co-hosts, Tom Conway and Celine Demir, are not with me in the studio today. I've invented a new series, a new occasional series where, you know, I get really curious about people and who they are and what they do and how come they're here. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And this will be an occasional series, where we'll get to know some interesting Vashon people, usually, but not always, affiliated with food and cooking or farm or wine or restaurants. But usually anything around food and spirits. And today we have a special guest. Our first guest in the debut series is Christy Clement. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having
me. Yeah, I'm really glad you're here. It's going to be fun to get to know you a little better. Christy is the owner and proprietor, I like to say inventor, of Vashon Island Coffee Dust. And what is coffee dust, you say? Well, we'll find out in a minute. But first, I also want to say that our trusty engineer, Heidi Skrypek, is on call here, too.
And so is Truman O'Brien.
And so is Truman O'Brien.
We
we had a little difficulty, technologically speaking, to get started on time. And, you know, technology is so amazing because Heidi was having trouble and she called Truman, and Truman, from a remote location, took over the computer, took over the whole engineering system, and fixed it for us. So here we are.
Suddenly the cursor started moving and my hands are off the wheel and Truman made it work.
And like, Heidi's ready to go. And so are we. So anyway, welcome, Heidi. I'm glad you're here. And thank you. Thank you for rescuing us. I appreciate it.
I'm so excited to talk about this because my mother buys these.
Oh, she does.
As Christmas gifts off the North End in that mixed gift gallery. It's on Cowan, I think. Does that ring a bell?
At Handmade on Vashon?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I bought a bunch for Christmas, too.
Okay.
And everybody really liked it. You know, I still have some of mine left, but it was fun. So we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
First of all, we're going to get to know Christy a little bit. So Christy lives on Vashon, and I'd like to know, Christy, what brought you here?
Well, my husband, Jason, and I had been living on our sailboat at Shoal Shoal in
Ballard. I love this idea.
Yeah. So we lived.
How long did you live on your boat?
Oh, 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And we had been looking for a while. We wanted to build a house somewhere. And we wanted a tight community, like the boating community is tight. Mm-hmm. And we just hadn't found the right place. We looked in Idaho and we looked at British Columbia and other places in Washington.
Wow.
And we were on our way back from Alaska, literally sailing by Vashon on our boat. And I was messing around on a real estate app. And I said, Jason, I think we should go check out Vashon. He'd been here once. I'd never been here.
Okay.
And we pulled into Docton and we stepped off the boat and we were like, this is the place.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It was immediate.
And so you knew right away. You know, that is a common idea that people have. They step foot on the island and it's like,
Yep.
This is it.
Yeah.
I had that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And you had that.
Me too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a magical place.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So how long have you been here then?
We ended up buying our property 12 years ago.
You did. Mm-hmm. So was it that property you had been looking at on the app?
No, we ended up across from Fisher Pond. So not near Docton, not on Maury.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're up there.
It's like the perfect place because we're, you know, we love hiking and running in the trails and biking and things like that. Mm-hmm. So Island Center is in our backyard, Fisher Pond,
it's
Akron
right
Park.
There.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So what's your favorite thing? What do you like about living on Vashon?
Talk to me. Yeah,
tell me.
I grew up in a small town, and it feels very much like home. I grew up on the East Coast, but the idea that, you know, I see people as I'm crossing the street at the four-way stop or at Thriftway or wherever, I love that. And just stopping to talk and finding out what's up with everybody and that sort of thing is so fun. But I love the sense of community. That's really what we were looking for.
Yeah.
And the sense of sort of self-reliance together as as a group of people, not just ourselves. But I also, I love the nature.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You can't beat it. The moss so and the fog.
When you got here, how did you introduce yourself to the community? I mean, what did you do when you first got here to sort of become integrated?
Well, when we first got here, it was all about, we bought 10 acres of just trees, mm-hmm. nothing developed. Mm. And so we spent the first couple of years doing some clearing and building a driveway and talking to builders was mm-hmm. actually part of how we got in. And mm-hmm. buying the property itself, we went through Leslie Farrell. And so, you know, she's just such a connector, mm-hmm. right? And
mm-hmm. well said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think through her, through Trace, who built our house, we just started getting introduced to people. And then Coffee Dust not too long after that. I started it in 2021. So like getting into sort of the business community mm-hmm. and the market mm-hmm. and things like that.
Okay. So. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background.
Okay.
I know you mentioned that you were raised on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Where was that?
In Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
In Old Lyme, Connecticut. Oh. If you've ever heard of Lyme disease, named yeah. after my town.
Namesake of Lyme disease.
That's right. That's right. L-Y-M-E.
Really? Yes. Interesting. Wow. That's very interesting. And so then let's talk about schooling and what you did in yeah. that part of your life.
Yeah, I went to undergrad in Pittsburgh. I went to Carnegie Mellon mm-hmm. and I studied chemical engineering. Mm-hmm. And then my first job out of school was in Cleveland. I got a job at GE. I was a light bulb engineer.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Well, we need those too.
That's right. Well, I didn't do that for too long. I did that for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And when I left GE, if you want a fun little travel story, I always got mad that people would complain about how much PTO that they had.
Oh.
But then end a job on a Friday and go to another job on a Monday.
Yeah.
That just never made any sense to me.
Yeah.
And so I said to myself, okay, in this 5 years, I have saved up $12,000. And how long can I make that last
wow.
before I yeah. need to get another job? And mm-hmm. the answer was 6 months if I go play
if
around.
If you did it right.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And yeah, so I did a round the world solo trip and took 6 months to do it.
Wow.
And when I got back, I was totally out of money. I was mm-hmm. I was out of money, and by the time I hit New Zealand, I was hitchhiking around.
I'll pick your strawberries.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so fortunately, I had a safety net of my parents, and I went to go, you know, live with my parents until I found another job, which was in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I did a year and a half in Wisconsin, which was super fun. But when I left there, I thought, okay, I've gone from Connecticut to Pittsburgh to Cleveland to Wisconsin. If I keep moving west at this rate, I'm going to end up in North Dakota. And that didn't sound great to
that
me.
That wasn't the best idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd been to Portland once. I'd never been to Seattle, but everybody told me I would love Seattle. So I thought, okay, I'm going to, mm-hmm. I took 3 months to come out here and just kind of explore the country. And my plan was spend a month in Seattle, spend a month in Portland, see which one I liked better. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I never made it to Portland because I got a job and then met my husband
oh,
in Seattle.
So you met him in Seattle.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we bought our boat not too long after that and then played around on that for 8 years before Vashon.
Wow.
I think you let life fall on your lap.
I think so too.
It's but so interesting.
Isn't that interesting? But somewhere in there, you got an MBA.
I did when I was in Cleveland. Yep.
Yeah.
General Electric paid for
nice.
Master's degrees and didn't wow. require us to stay. And so the day they gave me my last reimbursement check, I said, thank you very much. And here's my resignation letter. I'm going on this world tour.
And you did.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that world tour. Where'd you go? What'd you do?
Okay. So I spent 2 months in Europe. I did Ireland and I went to the Czech Republic and ended up in Germany and Italy. And then I did 2 months in Southeast Asia. I volunteered for a month in Thailand teaching English mm-hmm. at a high school in a very remote part of Thailand. And I was actually there. I left that on the day the tsunami hit.
Oh, wow. Day. Good timing.
Yeah. Fortunately, I wasn't anywhere near. I wasn't anywhere near the water, fortunately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I did India and Singapore and just, yeah, traveled around, did Lao. And then I spent a month in Australia, spent some time on a goat farm doing woofing, if anybody knows what woofing
yeah,
is.
Good for you.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I don't know if it's still called this, but it used to be called
Willing Workers on Organic Farms.
Oh, it's that. Basically oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, I did know that. You get room and board right. in exchange for right. 4 to 6 hours right. of work. So I got to work on a goat farm in Gindamine, Australia. And then I spent a month hitchhiking around New Zealand as I was running out of money and just had a tent on my back and, mm-hmm. you know, bought a lot of carrots and peanut butter. I think that's what I lived on. Then I had my plane tickets all bought, fortunately, so well, I made good. It home.
You could get home.
Did they yes. force you to do that just to show that you're not going to expatriate? Or did they? Were there rules that made sure you had a return ticket or not really?
I don't remember. Okay. I don't remember.
I was just curious.
It never became an issue, fortunately.
Yeah, that's good. Awesome. Yeah. That's really good. So let's fast forward to when you met your husband mm-hmm. and you lived on the sailboat.
Yeah.
And where did you go then?
Well, so we took about almost a year getting the boat ready because our plan was we're going to go around the world in this sucker, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and we got down the coast and we spent about a year in Mexico in the Sea of Cortez, which was lots of fun.
Oh,
and
yes.
managed to run out of money before we even left Mexico.
Really? Mexico
of
all places.
Around the world. yeah, so we came back to work, came mm-hmm. back to Seattle. We shipped the boat back and worked a little bit more. And then we did Alaska for 2 summers. Mm. We went up 1 summer, left the boat in Wrangell in Southeast Alaska mm-hmm. for the winter mm-hmm. and then came back. We didn't stay on the boat for the winter. No. We just left it there.
Yeah.
We moved to North Carolina to work for a while, came back and then took it back down the following summer. And it was that summer that when we were coming back down, we had a little extra time. We thought, oh, we'll go to the South Sound. And that's when we were passing by Vashon
oh,
in 2013.
Yeah.
And discovered Vashon.
Wow.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's still exciting things going on.
That's right.
it's actually a really good year to buy. That was kind of like the last really good
that's
year.
That's exactly right. We
oh
feel so lucky.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. In under the wire.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that's
yeah.
great.
Well done.
And then now we just watch the equity.
Yes. Yes, and feel sorry for people who want to buy here and
I know.
Live here.
It's hard.
Can't do it.
It's hard.
Rough.
It's really hard. So in your professional life, since you've been in the Northwest, mm-hmm. You've been an IT consultant.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I know that you were the president of the board of Vashon Household.
I was.
Is that
yes,
correct? For like how long? Five years?
I was on the board for a little over 5 years, and I think I was president for 4.5 or
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. You know, Vashon Household is one of my favorite organizations on the island. And for those of you who don't know, Vashon Household is all about affordable housing mm-hmm. so that people who want to live here but really can't afford it can actually live here.
Yeah.
It's getting hard for people like bartenders and
well,
the service industry
yeah.
is having a difficult
and the
time.
Artists,
the
and
artists.
I mean, sure. the people who make Vashon. Who Vashon is, right?
Yeah.
Or what
yeah.
Vashon is. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for your service.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. I have gotten really passionate about it.
It's a wonderful organization. Let's fast forward into Coffee Dust.
Okay.
Do you have any questions, Heidi?
I could talk about
I know.
I want to know how long the sailboat was. Like, was it a 30-footer?
It was a 40-footer. It was a Caliber.
Oh.
It was. Did it have a super wide cruiser berth? Like, was it accommodating for you to sleep on
it
and
was.
Live on?
Oh, it good. Was. It was just cool. The two of us. We don't have any kids. And so it was a great size for the two of us to mm-hmm. handle ourselves, but
nice.
Also live on.
Yeah, that's a good size.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had some, you know, fun adventures, you know, 70 miles. You want to hear a fun story?
Sure.
All of them. Yeah.
70 miles off the coast of Oregon, we saw a storm was coming in. At that time, this was 2009, you know, we didn't have satellite. It was too expensive for
mm-hmm.
us.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Like, it was around, but we didn't have it.
You did, like, Celestial Nav.
Well, we didn't have to do quite that.
Okay.
But we had a weather fax.
Oh, cool.
And so once a day, we would download text emails.
Yeah.
And this weather that would take, you know, I don't know, an hour or something to download.
To download,
yes. Yeah. On a Pactor modem that was like from 1970s. And on
a 1200
single sideband radio.
Yes. Come on, yes. baby. You can do it.
So yeah. we saw that there was a storm coming in. And our plan had been to jump from Nia Bay, the Strait of Juan de Fuca, mm-hmm. to San Francisco Bay.
Wow.
And we thought, all right, well, this storm is coming in 24 hours. We got to skedaddle. And we're 70 miles off the coast. The sailboat goes what, 5 miles an hour, uh-huh. right? So do the math. And we were like, all right, we got to get in. So we, and the wind had died. We had sails out, but the wind had died. So we weren't going to sail in. So we had to start the engine, and we go to start the engine. It does not start.
And oh no.
Oh, yes.
The weather started getting rough. A tiny ship was tossed.
A tiny ship.
So my husband is upside down in the lazarette. So basically the seat in the cockpit, uh-huh. Where, so that he could get to the engine, because it's a, you know, it's a really small compartment. Mm-hmm. Oh, and God. While he's down there, he's trying to figure out what's happening. And the spinnaker pole, which is attached to the mast and the end of the sail, because we're rolling so much and there's no wind, the spinnaker comes off, or the spinnaker pole comes off of the mast and just drops to the deck and is still attached to the sail. And so as we're rolling, it's just banging itself across the deck as he's trying to fix the engine. You know?
In this tiny little hold.
Yes, yes.
Oh my goodness.
He had to spark the engine, or, you know, like basically hot wire it with a screwdriver, mm-hmm. and got it started.
And we
were like, okay, we are never turning this thing off again.
Yeah, until we're gonna motor.
Yes.
motor.
But, and then we start heading in, and the Coast Guard was closing all the bars in Oregon. And not bars like drinking bars, the sandbars to get the bars. Into port,
yeah.
Right? And so we had to get all the way to Crescent City, to California.
Wow.
And we pulled in there just in the nick of time. Everybody else who came in after us was just eyes as wide as dinner plates.
How bad was the storm when you were able to pull in?
When we got on the water, it had not really started yet, but it was just the
beginning.
People after us were starting to get it, and it was bad. Mm. So we were stuck there for a few days, but mm-hmm. met some amazing people.
Well, that's a really nice place to be stuck.
It's, the people were great.
Yes.
I mean, we had, there's a prison there. I didn't know that before I got there.
It's rugged.
It's very rugged.
It's an interesting
beautiful.
Place.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
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 Oh, that's cool. All the sea stacks, like that would scare me to be out there. That particular part of California into Oregon is mm-hmm. like, I mean, Linda, you sold real estate down.
It's beautiful. I love it down there. But yeah, it's rugged.
Yeah.
It's rugged.
It's no joke.
It is.
And you're here to tell the tale.
Yes.
I know, you live through it. And I'm sure there's 1,000 other stories. That's wonderful.
Thank you. That was awesome.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. Now let's talk about coffee dust.
Okay.
Okay. So I learned about coffee dust, some advertisement somewhere.
Okay.
I mean, it might've been Facebook, but I don't think it was. I'm trying to picture in my head where it was I heard about it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I know there was an article in the Beachcomber, wasn't there?
Yeah, a few years ago. Yep.
I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, I was fascinated by the idea. And so I called Christy and I said, I really want to know about this. And so she was kind enough to give me a sample of it. Oh. And then I bought a whole bunch to give as Christmas presents. And I found it fascinating that there are all these flavors and all these things that you can enhance your coffee with. So... Christy, why don't you walk us through how did you come up with the idea?
Okay. So this was early COVID and I was a new coffee drinker.
So much happened in COVID.
I know. So many people started businesses.
You had to think.
Yes, right? Yeah.
So back to, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. So new coffee drinker during COVID, mm-hmm. because my husband and I, who we both had been traveling for work, mm-hmm. and this is the first time that we were actually in a house. We finished our house in September of 2019. Lucky.
Wow.
Lucky. We'd been living in an RV on the property as mm-hmm. we were building. So we had moved into the house, COVID hits, and we started this tradition of a coffee in the hot tub every morning.
Mm.
And, you know, we don't have kids, so it's our naked hot tub time, mm-hmm. right? And I fell in love with the routine and the ritual of it. But I, you know, in order to drink the coffee, I was filling it with cream and sugar, which I didn't love.
Mm.
Could I have gone to something else like tea? Probably, but that would ruin the story. So somebody in our pod, our friend Kim, had us over for breakfast one day and she said, okay, I'm going to serve you crappy coffee, but I'm gonna add some fun spices to it. And she mm-hmm. actually, she and her boyfriend at the time had called it coffee dust.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I can drink this coffee. It's black coffee just with these spices in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kim, you got to give me this recipe. So I went home and I played around with it and I got off of the cream and sugar with this. And at some point, work started picking back up and I'd been playing around with different flavors and I had just fallen in love with this whole idea of mm-hmm. different kinds of spices in coffee and trying all sorts of new things. And I thought, all right, I don't have time to do this anymore. I'm going to go back to work. I'll just buy this from somebody else because I really loved it so much. But nobody else did it. And I'd been kind of looking for a business to start. So it was an instant, like, if nobody else does this, Kim, we got to start a business.
Start a business.
And she was like, yes, let's do it. And the next day she texted me and she goes, I don't have time for this. You do it.
Never mind. Take backs.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel goofy telling that story sometimes because I am not the inventor of Coffee Desk. Clearly she and her ex-boyfriend were. I like to say that I'm very good at executing on other people's brilliant ideas.
It worked out. Plus you have a good background to dabble in all this stuff.
I do.
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. And well, while I was never in the food business, my job before this was helping software engineers and software teams to act more like startups and get into that mindset of just try things, try something new,
experiment a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so I was able to take those same ideas and really, I mean, that the ideas came from kind of entrepreneurial people anyway and got applied to software.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I learned it was in the software world. And so I was able to just kind of test and learn and iterate and test new things.
So let's talk a little bit about the testing and the learning.
Yeah.
I am a kitchen fanatic, obviously, and I love the ideas of how things go together and what you do. So did you put things in a blender? Talk about how you mixed these mixes and what you did and how you came up with all these different titles and flavors of different mixes of spices.
Yeah. Well, the first one was Captain's, and that was based on Kim's recipe.
Okay.
So, and Captain is her dog.
Okay. Okay.
So that's
and what's in that one?
So that one is cinnamon and nutmeg, turmeric, cardamom, and sea salt.
So she had that already done. She had figured that out herself.
She had orange peel in hers and a few other things. So like I basically took her recipe, got it wrong, and that's what became Captain's.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Yes.
And did you have to experiment a lot with different ratios of spices? And sometimes, like, did you have any epic failures?
Oh, so yeah, I had a few. But, you know, here's a little a PSA, a public service announcement for people. Don't put sage in your coffee.
Oh, God.
Oh. No.
We'll advise.
But, you know, there have been things that I've tried that I was really surprised at.
Mm-hmm.
Garlic coffee.
Hmm.
I know. Now, nobody's going to buy it, garlic coffee, I don't think. Not yet, until we really get this thing going. But I was very surprised that it was
just
actually kind
garlic?
Of tasty. We put, like, I'm trying to remember when we did this. We did this a few years ago. And I think we did just add garlic powder to our coffee. And
interesting.
Tried it out. We do a March Madness bracket every couple of years where we have people submit flavor ideas.
Oh,
and
what a great idea.
That's been super fun. And so we just, you know, we try lots, whatever somebody submits, I will try it.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody has ideas, I'm always game. And that was one of the things that we tried the last March Madness was garlic coffee. We also tried some sumac and coffee.
I love sumac.
Yeah.
I bet that's good.
Well, that's going to be, so we're doing rotating flavors this year, once a quarter, and there's going to be one called Daybreak coming out for Mother's Day next month.
Oh.
And that's got sumac in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Turns out that's really tasty in coffee.
So let's tell our audience about how it's used and how, really, let's paint a picture of what it is, what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, first of all, there's no coffee in coffee dust.
Right.
That's a confusing thing. Some people come up to me and say, is this coffee that you can snort?
Well, I, you know, when I first read the term coffee dust, I thought, oh, it's dust. It's like really finely ground coffee and you do this and you do that. I didn't know. So, yeah.
Yes. So only spices to add to your coffee to give it flavor without the junk ingredients that are typically in syrups and creamers.
Right.
And this way you're just adding spices and you only have to add a little bit. An eighth of a teaspoon is all you need. So it goes a really long way. And you can dust it on your coffee after you brew. You can froth it with your milk. Mm-hmm. We also have instructions on adding it before you brew, adding it to your ground so you can flavor your whole pot.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, and one of the things Heidi's showing me, the eighth of a teaspoon that comes with a little sample packet.
It's so tiny.
Is it so cute? I love it. That's part of the fun of measuring it, you know, is it's just this little tiny bit. And you think, how is that going to work in my big cup of coffee? Mm-hmm. But it does.
It really transforms it, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it really does.
Amazing.
I have a confession, though. I still put cream in mine.
I do not begrudge anybody for doing that. I do that sometimes, too.
It tastes so good. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. I like it.
The point is not to get everybody off of cream and sugar. You do it your way. But this way, I think you can get off of that stuff if you're trying to.
I know that there are some other ways that you have discovered that work really well with coffee dust other than coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's your favorite thing to do with it that's not coffee related?
Oh man. Cocoa Calm is cocoa and lavender and sea salt. Mm-hmm. Adding that to some whipped cream with strawberries is chef's kiss. It is just mwah.
And I really like good. The chocolate mint one on ice cream.
Oh yeah.
It's really good on ice cream.
I had a customer come up to me at the farmer's market years ago when I think it might have been my first summer, and he said, you know, Christy, I add Captain's to my coffee every day, and I started using it as a dry rub for my chicken, and I thought, you gotta be kidding me.
Oh my goodness, what a great idea.
And sure enough, I went home and tried it, and it's delicious. We bring it camping, so, you know, we'll add it to oatmeal and pancakes and things like that, and that way I'm just taking one tin camping with me and not a whole bunch of different spices.
Right, right. Yeah. Excellent.
So, and I have a lot of customers who use it in tea and smoothies, or even just honestly, I'll take some Healthful, add it to some hot water, Healthful coffee dust, add it to hot water with lemon, and it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's almost a tea in that regard.
Yeah, it's like kind of a chai-ish.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So what's your, let's talk a little bit about the business.
Yeah.
And how does your, how are you distributing your coffee dust?
Okay. So let's see. I mean, it's evolved over time and it started out just at the farmer's market here on Vashon.
Okay.
And then I think we next was wholesale. So I got into some stores.
And did you start locally with that or did you go regionally? How did you
My
begin?
Very first wholesale customer was actually my aunt and uncle who have a store in Michigan.
Okay.
So that was the first, like they said, can we sell this? And I said,
we love aunties and uncles.
So nice. Yes. So sweet. Love family that
That's
is supportive.
Wonderful.
But actually Anurana's was our second. Yeah.
That's where I saw it. Okay. It was Anurana's. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they've been great the whole time. They just, I love Birbal and his whole family. They're fabulous and they've always been big supporters. And that's part of what I love about Vashon is little places like that.
That's cool.
So we wholesale to places. We sell on our website.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do the Vashon Farmers Market anymore, but we do occasional markets. We go to Fremont Fair. We go to Strawberry Festival. We'll go to the Finney Market. We just got done with the Seattle Flower and Garden Show. That was the biggest show we've ever done.
That's a big one.
Massive.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I was going to ask you if there is a trade show where coffee dust goes.
Yeah. We're going to go to the chocolate show later this year in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And there are coffee shows too that we're exploring going to.
Mm-hmm.
I like your idea of doing complementary industries.
Yeah.
Rather than straight into what you would think would be your wheelhouse, right?
Yeah.
Because you get to kind of own the joint and own that category in a different way. And you're working, obviously, you've morphed more away from only direct to consumer to looking to get it retailed on the shoulders of others. So what's your mix now of what would you say is direct to consumer versus wholesaling it out?
So of our five channels of, let's see, our website, our markets, we're on Amazon, Etsy.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then I'm missing one, but we're probably half of our business is Amazon.
Good job.
Whoa. And about 25% is our website.
Okay.
And the rest is kind of wholesale and Etsy and those other smaller channels.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's very diverse.
Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful.
Keeps us on our toes.
Available on Amazon because that's, you know, worldwide and there you have it.
I know they beat up their vendors.
Because it's not a very profitable channel, but the volume's huge. So it's interesting
so
to
there's
learn
a trade
about
off.
All of these things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you get the exposure for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
That's good.
Yeah. And we can talk about that offline.
Yeah, yeah. Not to disparage. Yep. It's a great opportunity.
It is a wonderful opportunity. Yeah.
And, you know, I love going to Amazon and checking the reviews, seeing if this is a company I want to buy from. And then I go find their direct website.
Mm-hmm.
And say, hello.
Well, sure. Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you pretty much 24/7 thinking coffee dust?
Yes.
No?
Yeah. If you ask my husband, he would say absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And is he, are you a team that are you? Or is this your this is your deal.
This is my deal.
This is your deal.
This is my deal.
So, but I do understand that you have people that work with and for you.
Yes.
So who are those people and what do they do? And do they live here or do they live elsewhere?
Yeah.
Tell me all about your little company.
We have a team of four of our production staff. So we make everything on the island.
Okay.
We started out at the senior center because we had to have a commercial kitchen. So we would be on Tuesday nights after the senior center closed. Mm-hmm. They rent out, or they used to. I'm not sure that
they still
do anymore.
Okay. They still do
rent out their kitchen after
hours. It's a beautiful kitchen, isn't it?
It's great.
It's
great.
The trouble was
there was no space to store anything. So we would have to load everything every week.
Right.
We'd load everything out of my basement into my car. Mm-hmm. I would. And sometimes my team would. And then, unload it to the senior center. And mm-hmm. then, we would do a production run for 4 hours or so. And then back again. In fact, there was one night we were there particularly late. It was 10 o'clock at night in the winter. So it was dark. And the Vashon cop kind of surreptitiously pulled up in front of my car as I was unloading boxes at 10 o'clock at night out of the senior center. And I finished
wondering,
loading
up my car. What are you doing, lady?
Yes, thanks. This looks pretty sketchy, huh? He goes, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But we now produce, we're at the old Vashon Winery building.
Okay.
Across from Shingle Mill Trailhead.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we finally have our own space and we can leave it there. My basement doesn't smell like cinnamon anymore. So my husband loves that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because my team can go in and out. But you asked who is on my team. So we have four people doing production. Everybody's very part-time.
Okay.
But do you want to hear names?
If you want to say names,
yeah.
Sure.
Dennis and Melissa Balcom have been with me for a long time. Cecilia King and Melissa Brin are our production team.
Okay.
And then Danny Kopsak helps with shipping, and he calls himself the shipping queen, which I love. And he's the one that owns Handmade on Vashon.
Okay,
so if you ever do studio tour up on the north
that
end.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
All the time.
And then I have somebody who helps me with social media. She's in Hawaii, but just a friend of mine who knows how to do some of that. And then Heather Smith is she lives at Gold Beach, is starting to join me on my leadership team.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
And so are you dreaming of expansion yet?
You know, we've been doubling our revenue every year since we started in 21.
That's fabulous.
And so that feels like a pretty sustainable pace of I don't need this to be a $1 billion company.
Right.
But I love the idea of it continuing to grow and making it viable for people. You know, I love being able to provide jobs on the island while
I think that's
part-time,
wonderful. Yeah.
But it's like,
well, a lot of people like to work part-time too. You know, it's perfect for some people.
That's part of like what's really interesting and unique about Vashon, I think, is there are lots of people who cobble together lots of different jobs.
Right. They're artists or they're musicians.
Yes.
Yeah. They're artists, musicians, or they're, an interior.
And.
Yes.
Not or.
It is
crazy.
Or. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. You're providing a platform for that. So we need to take a little break and thank our sponsors for letting us do this wonderful thing.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
This portion of EOV programming is brought to you by Puget Sound Energy. If you're looking to save money on your energy bills, PSE offers rebates on a variety of products and equipment to help you upgrade the comfort and efficiency of your home. Visit PSE.com/rebates to learn more.
And we're back.
Hello. You are listening to The Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM on Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard. You're listening to Stirring the Pot. And our guest today is Christy Clement. We're talking about coffee dust. And we left off talking about distribution and profit margins and all those kinds of things. I want to get back to some ideas. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what you're envisioning for the future, or how do you dream up the things that you're going to do with a new blend or a new idea, or just talk to me about that.
Yeah. So we started doing mocha mint. So it's Ghirardelli cocoa and peppermint mm-hmm. and sea salt. And that was a big hit, but it wasn't one of our standard lineups. It was mm-hmm. just kind of this, oh, I think people like this. Let's give it a try, right? And we've done that for a couple holidays, and that's been really fun. And so we decided this year we're going to do 4 different seasonal flavors.
Okay.
And so for Valentine's Day, we did Lusty Dust.
And what was it?
Okay. So I looked up what are the spices out there that have historically, maybe not with science necessarily, but just sort of anecdotally will rev you up. And
rev you up.
Yes, that's right. So aniseed, we put some cinnamon in there just for taste, but ashwagandha, maca root, we put some edible glitter in there and sea salt.
Oh, how fun.
Yes. Yeah. Fun. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And it sold out really quickly. So I think that will continue to be a thing that we do for Valentine's Day.
That's so cute. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so I have a question about this. So you have your little box that is a sample of 6 different kinds of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then you have the larger containers.
Right.
And so are those larger containers available one at a time?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. That's how that works.
That's right.
Okay.
And so the idea, and people can buy the 6-pack on our website. We also have, you can buy them individually or, you know, 2 packs or 3 packs as well of the mini tins. And because I want people to be able to try them.
Sure.
And the big tins are 120 servings. Mm-hmm. And people are not necessarily willing to commit to that.
Well,
unless they've tried
to start.
It. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
What's happening in the future for the new holiday?
Yeah. So next month, we're going to go live with Daybreak, which is going to be for Mother's Day. We're going to market it for Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that's got sumac in it. Yes. And
do you have it?
Yeah. Well, I have our little, the one that I've been testing because I haven't finalized the recipe yet.
Can I smell it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to smell that up. I'm sorry the audience can't smell it. I'm sorry our listeners.
Linda's huffing.
And for people who don't know what sumac was, because I certainly hadn't really played around with it. I had never used it in cooking, but it's a citrusy flavor.
Mm. Oh, and it's beautiful.
Citrus in coffee, it turns out, is just delicious. It was the winner of our last March Madness.
I wouldn't have thought that.
I know.
Orange and coffee, like citrus, any kind.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But that's part of what I love in playing around with these things. And that's part of why I'm willing to try anything. Because I think the first time somebody recommended something, it was cayenne. They said, oh, you should try cayenne. And I thought, oh, who's going to drink spicy coffee? That's ridiculous. And now, you know, those are my favorites.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's
Hot
really
Mom
interesting.
And Spicy Papa.
Yeah, these are really cool combinations. I was looking on the back of the sampler at what each component
is. I know, they're wonderful.
Hot Mama, Ghirardelli cocoa, unsweetened chocolate, cayenne, cinnamon, sea salt. Sounds fantastic.
It is.
Healthful is cinnamon, turmeric, ginger, nutmeg, cardamom, black pepper, sea salt. I mean, I would make a freaking carnitas pork out of that.
Well, you could. I mean, yeah. So what else is coming in the year, in the coming year?
So the one that we'll do in the fall is called Nordic Dust. And that's got cardamom and turmeric and ginger, sort of it turns out Nordic spices and Middle Eastern spices are very similar, which I never would have guessed.
There's a whole history about that, about which we could talk about another day, but there's a history in the spice trade way back where the Norwegians and the Middle Easterns were doing big business together. So their foods really became similar. That's it's an interesting
fascinating.
History.
I need to learn more about that. Mm-hmm. It totally makes sense based on this. Yeah. And then our fourth one for the holidays will be mocha mint again. And that's always a popular one.
Well, that's
one.
A wonderful one. Yeah.
We might do a Christmas in July run of mocha mint.
Oh, that would be
good. Just because so many people love it and are always asking, can it become a regular flavor? Mm-hmm. So we'll play around with that a little bit.
What do you have one for like the autumn season?
That's the Nordic.
That's the Nordic through Christmas then?
Yeah, I'm playing around. I'm going to try and get into Yule Fest at mm-hmm. the Nordic Museum in Ballard. Good. And so I'd wanted to do that kind of flavor. And so that timing kind of lines up.
If you need some help getting in there, let me know.
Okay, I will.
Very cool.
I love helping. I think this is a fascinating, fascinating business you have.
Well, thank you.
It's I love it all. It's just a wonderful idea that's come to fruition. I wanted to say earlier, and I don't even really know how to say this, except that, you know, today's St. Patrick's Day, and there's that St. Patrick's blessing about may the wind always be at your back. And I feel like that's happened for you with so many of the things that you have done in your life, moving forward from Connecticut and all the way over here. The wind has been at your back, mm-hmm. girl. And I hope it stays there, because your business is enticing and it's good for all of us and it helps our community. And I'm just really happy that you came to visit with us.
Well, so, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, Linda. This has been a blast.
I'm glad you're here. And we will talk more. I'm going to keep track of what it is you're doing and where you're going. And I can't wait to try some of the new stuff. So
give us your website again, please.
Okay. VashonCoffeeDust.com. And people can actually go to coffeedust.com and it will redirect them.
And I looked at that. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And you can type in a few things and it'll get you there eventually.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And thank you for listening to us. And again, thank you, Christy, for coming. It was wonderful getting to know you.
Thanks,
and
Linda.
I look forward to seeing you again. Heidi, Absolutely. Thank you for your expertise.
You're very welcome.
And your color commentary.
I'm hungry now.
I know.
You've ruined me.
I know. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week when Tom Conway and I are in the studio. Okay, bye-bye.